In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. This is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and I am so glad you could join us this morning for our continued study in the book of Exodus. We're picking up in chapter 2, verse 11. Let me read that for you to bring back the context. This is regarding Moses, the young man. Now, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Now, if you remember this, Moses is basically still in the house of Pharaoh. And he decides to go outside and he sees his brethren. Now, what's so neat about the Exodus passage is that the New Testament actually talks about this passage too. In fact, when Stephen retells the story of the Exodus, we learn this insight from him in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. And when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Now, I find this absolutely fascinating because now we get insights into Moses' perspective on this Egyptian beating this Israelite. And we see that Moses was righteously upset. He had righteous anger. And he took the law into his own hands, though. That was the problem. He looked left, he looked right, but he did not look up. Hebrews 11:24 also talks about this. And it says the following: by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, we get another insight into Moses and how he really looked at his home with Pharaoh, his people, and ultimately God. Now, what's so important for us to recognize and to really apply this in our life is timing, motive, and manner matter with God and men. We have to be careful when mixing the flesh with the spirit. We have to be careful when taking matters into our own hands. For example, commandment number 6, which later Moses would pen, he writes in Exodus 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." Imagine being Moses writing down that law, and I am certain that that memory of killing that Egyptian came to the forefront of his mind. James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And that's exactly what happened to Moses. He's 40 years old. He sees this sin and he takes the law into his own hands. He shows vengeance. And this is a really important application. If we fail to recognize that God must win this battle, then we can take steps that actually are disobedient to God. Psalms 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Moses did not handle the situation godly nor biblically. And as a result of that, he fled. And this is really sad, but this was also in the providence of God. Now, this brings us to verse 13. "And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' So Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' And when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." This is a striking example of how your sin will find you out. And what Moses thought he got away with, literally murder, soon he discovered that his own people knew the truth. And once his sin had found out, Moses knew he had to leave. And look at the cost of this sin. He had to leave everything, his home, Egypt, his brothers. All was lost because he felt he was justified in his sin. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this can happen so easily. All it takes is the right set of circumstances. And if you're spiritually undisciplined, if you are not, let's say, your mind on the things above, you can easily begin to take steps in the wrong direction. When I'm recording this at this time, this is literally November 5th. It's just been a few days after the election, and we still don't know the outcome. And it's very easy for each of us to begin to get upset. We can begin to say that there's fraud and there's deception and all these things are going on. And we can then get so agitated that we may even take steps in the wrong direction. The truth is, this battle is the Lord's. And what we need to be doing is getting on our knees and pleading to God on the throne, whose throne is righteousness and truth, and pray that evil will be exposed, that lies will be uncovered, and that justice will truly be served to those who would break the law. That's what we need to be doing, praying. Now, if we have an opportunity to be righteous and to expose a lie, we need the courage to do that too. But we need to do that in a framework that honors the gospel, it honors our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it honors God himself. Now, there's some important background, too, that I would like to add on this. Verse 25 of Acts chapter 7, as I mentioned Stephen earlier, it says this, "For he supposed," that's Moses, "that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." So do you see what's going on? Moses is convinced himself they will recognize he's the leader. And when he begins to take actions that are actually ungodly, they don't recognize him. Verse 26, "And the next day appeared to the two of them as they were fighting, tried to reconcile them." So we can see that Moses was going in with the right intentions, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons." So we see here through the testimony and inspirational word of Stephen that Moses went in with the right attitude to reconcile his brothers, but his sin was found out and it undermined everything he was trying to do. And as a result, he had to leave everything behind. Now, prince and judge, this is a really important concept. Moses would one day be prince and judge, but that's in God's timing. And that's through God's arrangement. You remember David, he was anointed king by Samuel, but Saul refused to give up the throne. And David patiently waited for God's timing for him to be made king. And this is something we have to remember as Christians. Our time of exaltation is not in this time. It is not going to be until Christ returns, sets up his 1,000-year reign, and he is ruling from that throne in Israel, from Jerusalem with his rod of iron. And at that time, we will finally be exalted to the positions that God has promised us. But until then, those who live godly will be persecuted. Paul reminds us of that truth. So in the meantime, as we wait for God to raise us up to the place of authority, we stay humbled and we serve prayerfully and obediently. We are to be lights to this dark and dismal world that's getting darker by the moment. As I said, Moses one day would be prince and judge, but Moses did not rightly understand this role, nor did he have the maturity or moral character at that time. So the delay is actually because Moses isn't ready. God knows exactly when you're ready. And the principle I think is so important to remember, faithful in little, faithful in much. How often do we neglect the little things? How can we expect that God would allow us to manage the big things when we're failing in the small things? Moses will need to be changed and made ready, but it will take another 40 years of preparation. And that is a very difficult thing to do. Wait on God. See, leading and shepherding is far more than merely knowing right from wrong. Failure, followed by self-examination of that failure, and then followed by godly change, is the only way to growth, to change, and being used by the Lord. I love 2 Timothy 2:20. It's such a great reminder of this truth. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Paul is making it so clear to Timothy, look, Timothy, in the church, there's going to be a lot of people, and in your own life, you all want to be used by God, but the truth is, not everyone is sanctified. Not everyone is a vessel of honor. Not everyone is obeying God's word. But God says here through Paul to Timothy that if you want to be useful, cleanse yourself. And that's a beautiful picture of put off sin and put on righteousness. And then Paul goes on to write, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I love this. In other words, make sure that your life is pure and make sure you live with other Christians whose life is pure. Paul said another way, bad company corrupts good morals. But Paul writes even more, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they might know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What a great truth. And had Moses known this truth, had Moses obeyed this truth, he might not have murdered that Egyptian, and he might have been used even sooner rather than 40 years later. And so therefore, we have to be careful not to act against God's word and will. Be faithful in a little, and then God over time will help you learn to be faithful in much. I think another great example from scriptures is the life of Joseph. Here he is, a young godly man at 17, and his brothers were jealous. They threw him into a pit, sold him to a slave, and eventually he ended up in Egypt. And as a servant to Potiphar, he was faithful, and God was with him. And what's so amazing about Joseph is there's not one sin ever mentioned about him. He was faithful, and he learned to be faithful in the most difficult of circumstances, so that when it was time for him to be exalted, as second only to Pharaoh, he saved not only all of Egypt, but his family too, through the famine because of the storage of the grain. May you trust in the Lord this very day, making yourself a vessel of honor, being faithful in little, waiting on God's time to exalt you to a greater position of influence. But until then, pray and obey. If you want our Bible study notes, email us at WFL@BrooksideBC.org.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.